The route, UNRWA, the UN Agency for Palestine Refugees, says it is beyond devastated that the scores of its employees in Gaza have been killed and injured. But it cannot bring itself to say who harmed them. The UN undermining justice by tiptoeing around the Zionist regime is hardly new, but the stakes in terms of Palestinian lives have never been higher. Antonio Guterres, the UN Secretary General, parroted Israeli government propaganda recently by calling for the end of the use of civilians as human shields. Guterres appears to be giving the Zionist regime a pretext to deliberately target civilians and civilian objects by blaring the distinction between civilian and military targets. By doing so, Guterres is endangering the lives of countless Palestinians in Gaza, being treated and sheltering at hospitals threatened by the Zionist regime in the northern half of Gaza. Late last month, hours before communication networks went down for the first time during the current war, and the Zionist regime intensified its strikes, the Israeli regime military and Benjamin Netanyahu accused Hamas of using Al-Shifa Hospital, Gaza's largest, as a command center. Hamas has repeatedly and categorically denied that accusation, and the Zionist regime has not credibly substantiated its claims. On November 5th, Hamas invited Guterres to form an international delegation to visit hospitals in Gaza and refute what it said was Israel's lies and blatant fabrications to justify targeting civilians. The Zionist regime has long accused Hamas of using hospitals in Gaza as human shields in order to sow doubt about the protected status of its civilian targets. Deliberately targeting civilian objects and inflicting high numbers of civilian casualties through the use of overwhelmingly disproportionate force has been the Zionist regime's military doctrine in Gaza and Lebanon since 2006. The failure of international institutions and powerful states to hold the Zionist regime accountable for that past practice has emboldened the Zionist regime to scale up that violence to an unimaginable level in Gaza today. It is unthinkably irresponsible for the UN Secretary General to legitimize Israel's deliberate attacks on civilians. If the Zionist regime makes good on its threats to bomb Al-Shifa Hospital, it could easily double the current appalling death toll in Gaza. There is no justification for such a strike under international law. As Human Rights Watch says, direct attacks against civilian objects such as residential buildings, houses of worship, hospitals, and other medical facilities and schools are prohibited by the laws of war. The presence of armed groups or military forces at what would normally be a civilian object could render it subject to legitimate attack. But where there is doubt about the nature of an object, it must be presumed to be civilian, according to the rights group. The laws of war prohibit indiscriminate attacks in which military targets and civilians or civilian objects are hit without distinction. Human Rights Watch adds that prohibited indiscriminate attacks include aerial bombardment, which are attacks by artillery or other means that treat as a single military objective a number of clearly separated and distinct military objectives located in an area containing a concentration of civilians and civilian objects. The group adds an attack on an otherwise legitimate military target is prohibited if it would violate the principle of proportionality. Disproportionate attacks are those that may be expected to cause incidental loss of civilian life or damage to civilian objects that would be excessive in relation to the concrete and direct military advantage anticipated from the attack. So far, the Zionist regime's attacks in Gaza over the past month can be characterized as both indiscriminate and disproportionate. Israel's President Isaac Herzog said that it is an entire nation out there that is responsible for the October 7 attack led by Hamas, implying that everyone in Gaza is a legitimate target. Herzog claimed, "It is not true, this rhetoric about civilians not being aware, not involved. It's absolutely not true. They could have risen up." The actions of the Zionist regime's military and statements by its leaders Netanyahu invoked biblical scripture to justify killing even infants make clear that the fabricated regime of Israel has little regard to the protection afforded to civilians under international law. That makes it all the more appalling that the UN should echo the Zionist regime's rationale for blatant breaches of international law. But the world's body leaders appear intent to bend over backwards to please Israel and its powerful protectors. Undoubtedly, Guterres is under a lot of pressure behind the scenes from the Zionist regime's most powerful friends. Recently, the UN had said, rightly so, that the attacks by groups did not happen in a vacuum and that the Palestinian people have been subjected to 56 years of suffocating occupation. Guterres added that the grievances of the Palestinian people cannot justify the appalling attacks by armed groups, and those appalling attacks cannot justify the collective punishment of the Palestinian people. The Zionist regime's diplomats to the UN and its politicians threw a temper tantrum after Guterres' remarks as they seek to obscure the October 7th attack's obvious context of decades of occupation, settler colonization of Palestinian land, and 16 years of devastating blockade on Gaza. Gilad Erdan, Israel's ambassador to the UN, called on Guterres to resign. Late last month, Craig Mokiber, the director of the New York office for the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, resigned from his post over the world body's failure to adequately respond to the textbook case of genocide in Gaza. In his resignation letter, Mokiber states that key parts of the UN have surrendered to the power of the US and to fear of Israel lobby. By doing so, UN had abandoned its principles and integrity, he said, at the Palestinians' expense. Guterres' capitulation to genocidal Israel is a stunning example of that shameful abandonment of principle.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You are listening to Viewpoints on IRIB English Radio. I'm Atal, the host of this program. This series of Viewpoints is concerned with the thoughts and speeches of the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. With me in the studio are two experts from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Qasim and Sheikh Sadiq. Sheikh Sadiq, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum, very happy to be with you.
You're welcome, brother. And Sheikh Qasim, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So, in a series of the programs of Viewpoints regarding the speeches and the thoughts of the leader of Iran, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, today we want to talk about the important concept of safety, or it could be also roughly translated as security, and also calmness and tranquility inside, which these two terms or these two concepts are usually juxtaposed, come together. You know, just look at the way that the nature is waking us up every morning. And just look at the rain, look at the trees, look at even the animals, brother, okay? Yeah. Look at what are the animals, you know, are doing in the very early morning. Subhanallah, when you look at them, they are thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are very much thankful to the very much creator. So if you ask the world, and if you listen to the voices, I think, because we are not listening nowadays, okay? If you listen to the world, you can see that they find their own true source. Yeah. And they know that we're going to. But unfortunately, this rationality, this intellect that the human beings is benefited with is getting us away and away. And every day, although there are many innovations, there are many novelties, there are many, new discoveries around, but the people in the world are day by day away from the security and peace inside. They cannot find peace anywhere. They commit suicide, they take pills, they take this and that, they take tranquilizers, okay, as the pills. They cannot find it. And unfortunately, I think this is because they are day by day away from the fitrah. Isn't it, Sheikh Sadiq? What's your comment on that?
Yeah, we could say it's being away from the meaning. Especially when you think about suicide.
Yes.
When you don't have, like, sometimes it's because of like severe problems.
Yeah.
Put that away, but people who just don't find meaning, like, why should I go on?
That's right.
Why should I go on? What does it mean? If it doesn't mean anything, I don't want to continue. Mm-hmm. So that could be one of the biggest motivations for suicide.
That's right.
And the problem with that is, the reason for that is, the true meaning of life is infinity, is becoming infinite.
Okay.
Is realizing, actualizing your potential, which is infinite.
That's right.
Getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other words. And when everything that you learn when you're brought up is your life is limited to the time when you're born and when you're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Your bodily, physical, material life. That's it. Of course, that doesn't have any meaning.
And the expectations, brother. The expectations that are made for the people nowadays in the world. They are surrounded by the expectations which cannot be fulfilled and achieved. Buying the car, buying the house, having this, having that.
Yeah, okay? That is a source of anxiety.
Yeah, is a source of anxiety. And day by day, you cannot reach that. You are getting away.
Yeah.
You deceive this one. You trick that one. You make a trap with that. You have to get a big loan with much higher rate of interest in order to buy this, in order to buy that. And you make yourself indebted to the world around yourself. And just one day, after 30, 40 years of life, you look around and you see what you have. You do not have peace inside. So this materialistic mundane life would not bring tranquility and security for you. Then I miss the money. I miss my house. What should I do? I should go, I call it, to artificial security and peace. What is that? Insurance companies. You got to get to the insurance companies. You got to this bank, to that institute, to this judicial system, to that judicial system. Please help me. I want to have my tranquility and peace back. I want to have my checks secured. Okay, they have secure, isn't there? They're securing your bank checks, okay? This is not a type of security or justice, or it's better to say tranquility.
I just got a business idea. We can create a insurance company and call it Tawakkul. That would be the ultimate irony.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, it's better to say, yeah, insurance company with the name of Tawakkul, trust in Allah. The case is that sometimes the Muslims, I mean, do their obligations, do their salat, you know, take fast, do this, do that. But still, they do not reach that type of peace inside. What's the problem?
Well, we're too concerned and focused on the appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're hungry, and I give you a cooking book, right?
Okay.
A book of recipes.
Yes.
And you go and read the recipes 5 times a day,
mm-hmm.
and repeat them, and repeat them, and repeat them. Cake, cake, cake.
Okay.
Does that fill your stomach?
No.
It doesn't satisfy your hunger,
no.
Does it? It's the same with religion. It's not about repeating the words or repeating the actions. These are pointers to a goal. We have to be concerned with the underlying meaning.
That's right.
And that's why we have hudur qalb.
Yes, the presence of the heart.
We hear it, yes. We repeat it, but we don't work for it.
Oh.
Seriously, right?
That's right.
So no wonder that we still have anxiety and depression and everything else among the religious communities as well.
That's why we have it among the people. Okay, Sheikh Qasim, so what's your comment on that, brother? Why do you think that some people who are even religious, they cannot find tranquility and peace inside?
Yeah, I think the problem is that even though that we believe that deep down we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is not the case, this is not the case in reality. So in a way, our world, our worldly affairs have become our Lord. So our lust, our desires have become
desires.
Our Lord. Yeah. So this is what happens. So when you are praying, when you are fasting, it lacks the reality of that worship that you're doing, that which is bringing you closer to Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. So don't think about this. This is one thing. Another thing is that unfortunately we take serious things that are not. That must not be taken serious.
Okay.
This is what unfortunately.
For example,
is.
What?
And we do not take those things that are there to be taken serious as serious.
They call it this necessities of the life today.
Yeah. So
because the lifestyle is very much different.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
If you don't have a car.
So we have to, we have to just suffice to the necessityness of those things.
Okay.
Do not go further. You know,
yeah.
This unfortunately they have became whatever that we have to, work for.
Mm-hmm.
This is the problem that we have. We don't think. Sometimes we just forget that we're going to go somewhere else. You know, there's another life expecting and waiting for us. Actually, there is a very beautiful tradition from Imam Ali alayhi salatu wassalam. In Nahj al-Balagha, it's been, if I'm not mistaken, it's the Hikmah 132 or something like that, if I'm not mistaken. So the story goes that Imam Ali alayhi salam was returning from the Battle of Siffin, and he was by the boundaries of Kufa, and they were, a year they were preparing for the war, they were fighting, and all those things happened at the Siffin battle, and they are going back to their hometown, and Imam Ali alayhi wasalam stopped them and went to one cemetery close to Kufa.
Yes.
And then he went on and started addressing the dead.
The dead people, that's right.
And then said, if you want to, started talking to the dead and said, if you want to know about what happened after you left this world, I'm going to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Your wives and your husbands got married again. Your, properties was
taken away. That's right.
Taken away. And
that's right.
Everything,
Yes.
And then Imam alayhi salatu wasalam turned to his soldiers, his troop, and said, do you want to know if they were allowed to talk about what happened to them in the hereafter? They would tell you that the most important thing that we need here is at-taqwa.
Mm-hmm.
And the khayr az-zat at-taqwa. So this is this thing that we have to take serious.
Yes.
Well, unfortunately, everything has changed. You know, yeah. Those things that should not be taken serious, unfortunately, now are taken serious.
Yeah, taqwa.
Yeah.
It's difficult, man, to reach, you know, in the true sense of the word. Sometimes we think that taqwa is doing these routine things, you know, doing our salat and doing our psalm or something like that, living some of the forbidden acts. But man, taqwa is difficult. I mean, the pure taqwa is very much difficult to reach. But I think as a suggestion for our dear listeners who are listening to us now all around the world, you tested, you know, and you examined all the ways around. Examine Shia Islam too. And the ways and the infallible imams, you know, have suggested to you, okay?
Yeah.
So examine this one too. If you do not get the answer, okay, then it's yours. It's all upon yours. And I think that in order to find peace inside, it's very much personal. But at the same time, the presence of a teacher or a trainer beside could help us very much.
Sure.
Because sometimes the quality of the religious actions that we are doing is not very much high standard. So we have to refer to a trainer or a teacher, an alim or a scholar to get some guidelines, okay? So
we do not just mean that, you know, go to, you know, a physically person. You just can read their you know.
Yes, it could be reading out the books like or, yes, everything. And this is how the spirit and the soul of all the justice seekers, the good people around the world exist during all, I think, the eras of the history, here, there, and in the future generation. Visiting the tombs of the infallibles, you know, paying the visit to the Kaaba, seeing an alim, even the face an alim, okay, which you believe is a religious scholar and an alim, having a chit-chat or a talk with him, okay? These all could help us very much, but everything starts from inside your spirit, inside your soul. You have to start one day. Then I believe that if you cannot find the true peace inside, even the prayer and salat cannot help you. Because you do prayer, you do salat, but you say, I'm not peaceful inside. What's happening? Why am I not able to talk to God, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is the problem? I mean, these distractions has to be removed from around us. We are very much distracted nowadays, unfortunately. Okay, that's all we have time for today's discussion regarding how to find security and peace inside. Inshallah, through the love of Allah and the infallible Imams and the Masumin, we can find security in the true sense of the word in our lives.
Amen.
For ourselves, the people around, our family members, and all the people who we like, inshallah. May Allah help us in this way. The people, especially nowadays during COVID-19, the pandemic around the world, the people all around the world are looking for peace inside. You know, they are really passing difficult times. This is a very, very big test for us, how we can tolerate these hard situations. I think this is a big trial for all the people around the world. So, thank you much, Sheikh Qasim and Sheikh Sadegh, for your presence in the program Viewpoints. It was very kind of you. And thank you much, dear listener, for listening to us. To another episode, God be with you. Fi amanallah.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know, amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life.
food for thought.
Hello, everyone. Let us contemplate on a gem of a saying from the leader of the pious and the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, who has talked about vicissitudes of life. Opportunity passes away like the cloud, therefore make use of good opportunities.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news. Iranian culture. Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en. Abu Ramadan and his family in the Gaza Strip.
Part 1.
The sun shone to announce the beginning of a new day. It was the 13th day of the war on the Gaza Strip, on the 20th of July 2014, the 28th of Ramadan, the fasting month for Muslims. Abu Ramadan Yassin and his family were at the sheltering school for those who were displaced from their homes. They got back to their house from the school in El Zaytun neighborhood, south of Gaza City.
The situation is forced on us. I shall remind you of what I said a while ago. No giving up, no despair, and no devastation. We will say goodbye to our martyrs, build our homes, plant trees in our streets. We will send our martyrs to heaven, whether they are children, old men, or young. We will send them to heaven, then come back to resistance. This is the equation that should be dominant.
Why should you hear or watch the news?
Our families and children are being killed. We should know the news about where they bomb. We should know about the houses and the numbers of martyrs and the children who are dying. Those are our children, hearts, eyes, brothers and families. We should see the fighters who defend us and defend our grace and dignity.
We have been watching TV for 13 days. We watched the massacres, the killing and the bombardments. They kill children, men, women and old men. They kill people when they go anywhere, either to pray or buy food.
Do not allow anybody to use this logic to say that we can live peacefully with Zionists. You know what should be done with those who say this, or those who want us to live next to them.
There is no water or power supply. We cannot live like the rest of humans. And there is war, destruction, killed and torn people in the streets. The army bombed the children on the beach and destroyed our houses.
Allah is sufficient for us against the Arab countries that refuse to support the Muslims. They are supporting the Americans and the Israelis. Aren't we Muslims? Allah is sufficient for us.
After the power outage, Omer Ramadan went to the kitchen to figure out a way to prepare breaking the fast meal for the family, despite the severe lack of ingredients. As for Abu Ramadan, he was out in the market looking for any available ingredients.
I am going to the market to buy some vegetables to break the fast for the children. I hope we find it open.
You know the way there, and people feel afraid of going to their farms and collecting vegetables. Most of the vegetables we have come from the south, and people feel afraid of coming to the Gaza City.
No one went to his land because they feared to be bombed in their lands or houses. The market is closed. The market is closed. There are no vegetables. I don't know what to do. You think you can manage by anything at the house? Okay, goodbye.
I am frying vegetables. I'm making fried potatoes and eggplants to break our fast with them. Today, my husband went to the market and found it closed because of the war. I am preparing food now using what I found in the house.
Abu Ramadan returned home to help his wife prepare the fast-breaking meal.
Arabs are watching us on TV. During that, they are cooking everything. Chicken, sheep, mandi, and other things. But what are we cooking? We are cooking potato and eggplants to break our fast. We are frying them to prepare our breakfast. We are listening to the news of our land, houses and children. We are being destroyed while Arab countries are just watching us and watching series and movies. See how the water supply is. There is no water in the tanks. The water supply is weak and cannot go up to the tanks.
This is how Abu Ramadan and his wife prepare the meal in their house. As for the families that stay at the school, they only have a small electric device they use for cooking.
The Israeli occupation started firing by tanks. We could not sleep that night. Allah is sufficient for us. They killed our neighbors and destroyed the houses on them. What can I say? I'm frying potato in the school. We have high morale and our men and fighters are strong, thank God. If we have the weapons, we will liberate Al-Quds. God willing, we will pray there. The food I'm preparing is fried potato and some salad. Thank God for everything. What shall we do?
My name is Camelia Kohail. My family consists of five members, my husband, three children and I. We were having breakfast when the area behind the house was hit. After a while, the missile hit the house itself. The kitchen, bedroom and living room were all damaged. Nothing remained in the house. It was all destroyed. The tin fell on my son and he is injured now. He is in pain because of his head. I have no other place to go. So now my children and I are homeless. I hope there will be a ceasefire or something. I have no place to stay at and nobody is helping us. The entire Arab world is just watching us.
Camelia lost her entire house and settled with her children in a sheltering school. As for Abu Ramadan and his family, they have their own two-story house, ground floor and another upper floor. The house got hit by Israeli occupation drones, which caused huge damage in the upper floor, making it unlivable.
I was breaking the fast with my wife, and after we were done eating, she took away the leftovers and went to wash the dishes. She came back here while I was watching TV. I was watching the news about what was going on in our country and what happened to people.
I was standing near the window when the missile hit the house. With the explosion, I fell on the floor and could not see my daughter or my husband. I did not think I was home, but I thought I was at school, and the stones were falling on us.
We flew off the mattresses, and I was moved from here to there. My daughter fell here. Something like fire entered the house and exploded. It was a missile. I got up looking for my wife and daughter and found them here. My daughter was hidden, injured, and bleeding. We all became wounded.
The ambulance took us. My daughter and I were injured, and shrapnel hit my husband in his back. Look at this. How could we become like this? We should live this life.
We had breakfast and said the evening prayers, then wanted to have some rest in our room. The missile hit the place, and look at the glass, and our clothes, and our condition. All our clothes are torn, and so are our sheets. All the furniture is on the floor. Look at the fragments. Look closely, and let the world witness that. All our clothes are torn. Look at my children's suits. What was their fault? What did they do? How can we afford buying new things? Allah is sufficient for us. The girls' clothes are torn too. Winter and summer clothes are all damaged. The closets and the beds are damaged too. If we had remained here for more 10 minutes, we would have been killed. We would have been torn of glass and of the rocket and its fragments. Is that a part of any religion? What did we do? Is that because we demand our rights? Or we demand our homeland? Or we defend our dignity? What was the crime we committed? Why did they come to our land? Why? Look at the missile. What did we do to deserve being hit by this? Is that because we are demanding our rights? Allah is sufficient for us.
While we were with Abu Ramadan's family in the house, we heard explosions everywhere, every now and then.
There was another explosion. That one hit some place moments ago and exploded. We do not know where that was. May Allah protect all the people and children. Sometimes planes hit us and sometimes tanks. What did we do to them? Can you see the fire in a Shuja'iyah neighborhood? They killed the people and burned the houses. Allah is sufficient for us against the Israeli occupation. Look at the sky. It is black because of the fire and of what they fire on us. They are cowards and could not go out of their tanks. Their chiefs tell them to kill themselves but not surrender to the Palestinians. They tell them that they should not be imprisoned. Kill yourselves but do not turn yourselves in. They and their army are cowards. They fire missiles and kill innocent people and hit hospitals and mosques. They destroyed every mosque.
Young. Abu Ramadan and his family did not want to stay any longer inside the house, so they decided to leave before something disastrous happened.
Let's go out as they may bomb the house. Let's go to the school. Planes are firing missiles all day and night. Listen to the sounds of the planes and tanks.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam dina.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamun Alaikum, so welcome. This is another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're speaking about hijab fashion in the view of Islam. Please listen to this episode. Salamu Alaikum. Today, Tuesday, 29th of Rabiul Thani, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 23rd of Aban, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and 14th of November, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's open Allah's book and listen to a nice verse from its surah. Chapter Al-Ahzab, verse 59.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها النبي قل لأزواجك وبناتك ونساء المؤمنين يدنين عليهن من جلابيبهن. ذلك أدنى أن يعرفن فلا يؤذين وكان الله غفورا رحيما.
O Prophet, tell your wives and your daughters and the women of the believers to bring down over themselves part of their outer garments. That is more suitable that they will be known and not be abused. And ever is Allah forgiving and merciful.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In those days, it had been customary that the maidservants would come out of home without covering their head and neck. And since from the point of manner they were not so well, sometimes some impolite young persons made trouble for them. Here the free Muslim women were ordered to observe wearing a complete Islamic veil in order to be recognized from the maidservants. It is evident that the concept of this statement is not this, that the wicked persons had the right of causing trouble for the maidservants, but the purpose is that the Muslim women should take the pretext from the mischievous persons. Another aim of it is that the Muslim women might not be careless or heedless in wearing their veil.
Life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
You know, hijab fashion in the view of Islam is one of the important matter in Islamic discussions. It is quite probable that these so-called experts of Islam and of the Middle East have confused the basic order of the Quran with the style of hijab worn by Muslim women of various ethnic backgrounds. The requirements of hijab is a Quranic command. The basic requirement is that a Muslim woman should cover her body with a hijab, a loose over garment. Of course, she can leave her face and hands open. When it comes to the style, color, and material of the hijab, of the jilbab, each Muslim ethnic group can follow the Quranic injunction according to their own cultural background. The variety in styles of implementing the same Quranic law is so because Islam is a world religion. It can't be confined to one religion or tribe or culture.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The role of modest fashion in Islamic culture. So let's see what is the Islamic dress code. Islamic dress code is modesty and identity. It is nothing except this. One of the most distinct elements of Islamic attire is the hijab, commonly worn by Muslim women. The hijab is not merely a piece of cloth. It represents a commitment to modesty and adherence to Islamic principles. It covers the hair and body, leaving only the face and hands visible. The hijab serves as a powerful symbol of women's faith, modesty, and identity. It exemplifies the idea that a woman's worth is not defined by her physical appearance, but her character and piety. Muslim men are also guided by a modest dress code, although the requirements for them are different from those for women. They are encouraged to dress modestly, avoid clothing that reflects extravagance, arrogance, resemblance clothing specific to the opposite gender. These dress codes, both for men and women, emphasize the principles of modesty, humility, and identity, underlying the idea that one's attire should align with their religious beliefs and values.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
On the continuation of today's special from IRIB English Radio, we have one requirement of hijab. That is not imitating other faith. Islam encourages people to be proud of who they are. Muslims should look like Muslims and not like mere imitations of people of other faith around them. Women should be proud of their femininity and not dress like men. And men should be proud of their masculinity and not try to imitate women in their dress. For this reason, Muslim men are forbidden from wearing gold or silk, as these are considered feminine accessories. This is key for activists. Do not judge. While some Muslims in a given setting may judge non-hijabis, activists and key figures in organizations and communities must never fall into this kind of behavior. Remember that we don't know a person's background. Maybe the sister doesn't know hijab is an obligation. Maybe she's from a culture where it is not practiced. Maybe she's from a family that has forced her to take it off, or from a non-practicing family, or even a family that is hostile to Islam. If they look around and they see Muslim activist women who are very negative and exclusionary and overly critical, then they are not going to make them their friend, says Sister Sharifa Al-Khatib, Vice President of the North America Council of Muslim Women.
So personally, I enjoy, you know, getting a new wardrobe once I actually am able to give that to poor people. And right. I see how happy they get,
yeah.
You know, and same thing goes for your family and your children. But if you're buying, you know, more than you should. So let's mm-hmm. say you're an attorney, and attorneys, well, they need more suits than an average person,
right.
A physician, let's say.
Yeah.
Then that's fine, you know, because that is how you present yourself
right.
to your clients and to the court and to the public. For example, others, let's say you're a salesman, mm-hmm. then you also need to buy more than an average person. So I think every job, every lifestyle comes with its own set of needs. You know, sometimes it's 10 suits and 10 pairs of shoes. Sometimes it's 30 pairs of shoes.
Right.
For whatever you do.
Right.
But anything more than that is called israf, is considered israf. And if you say, well, this year I only got 5, but you have 50, that's still israf because you're not using it. If you're not using it, or if the usage for it has become less, give it away. Don't be so attached to those things.
Right.
Like I said, those things don't make who you are. Mm-hmm. You know? And the more generous you are, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returns, you know, and gives you more. In fact, there are hadith that encourage us to give things so that they are replaced with that which is better. Don't wait for it to rip and get destroyed.
Right.
Allah won't replace that. But if something is at its peak and it's nice and it's still working for you, and you take that and you give it to someone,
right.
Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace it with something that is better. Look, and I have seen people do that all the time. I have seen people give away really nice shoes, give away nice jackets, give away, you know, watches. Cell phones, watches, and even cars, honestly.
Speaking about hijab, inshallah, we continue this interesting topic on this controversial and interesting topic on the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Don't forget to listen to us, and till then, we leave you in Allah's protection. Have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi. علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
White light lit up the sky over Gaza tonight.
people running for cover, not knowing whether they're dead or alive. They came with their tanks and their planes, with ravaging fiery flames, and nothing remains. Just a voice rising up in the smoky haze. We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children alike, murdered and massacred night after night. While the so-called leaders of countries afar debated on who's wrong or right. But their powerless words were in vain, and the bombs fell down like acid rain. Through the tears and the blood and the pain, you could still hear that voice through the smoky haze. We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go tonight. We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in the night without a fight. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. A blinding flash of white light lit up the sky over Gaza tonight. People running for cover, not knowing whether they're dead or alive. They came with their tanks and their planes, with ravaging fiery flames, and nothing remains. Just a voice rising up in the smoky haze. We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The latest barrage of Israeli attacks on the Gaza Strip killed dozens more Palestinians.